Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. It's so good to be able to come to you and talk to you about the things of God and the Word of God. It means a lot to me. I thank God very much for the church in Christmas Valley, who are the sponsors of this program and allow me to come back to you week by week. I would ask you to pray for those people. And there are many things taking place in all the country. And in Christmas Valley, things are taking place. It's a small community, but there are many people that love the Lord Jesus. And I would ask you to pray for them. I have no specific to ask you about, but to pray for them in general, that they may always have their eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, so that the things of this earth shall go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Today, I would like to share with you that there are two sides of prayer. There's God's side and our side. And I would like to say to you from the 2nd of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 12, and verses 1 through 9. Let me read those to you. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How he that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet in myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, and that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient, or enough, sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, often we like to think that the reverse is true of this statement that Paul made. We like to think that because I am a strong person of person in personality, or a strong person in body, therefore God can use me. But usually God uses the weak and detestable things, the things that are not pleasant to look at, the people that are not really so spotless as we like to think. Notice, go back into the Old Testament and hear David crying out in Psalm 51, Wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The agony of David's heart was this, that he had turned his back on the Lord, committed adultery, and then to cover his adultery had caused murder to take place. It was a tragic, dreadful, awful, ghastly thing that he did. But he was still quite young, and God left him on this earth for at least another 38 years or more. We're not sure exactly, and some people think they're sure, but we're not really sure of the ages of these people. But I have to tell you this, King David cried out to God, and God still used him because his heart was after God. He had a lapse where he went off at a tangent. He had a lapse where he went off into left field and did something he should not have done. He knew better than to do it. God said to him, "Look at all the women in Israel. Couldn't you have had one of them? Why do you turn to this woman?" But he had to. For that moment, the pressure, the power, the temptation was just enormous. And so we find the apostles turning to Jesus, and they say to Jesus in Luke 11:1, "Lord, will you teach us to pray? If we will come, see what God will do." Jeremiah 33:3 tells us that God will do amazing things if we will turn to him and pray. But we don't. We don't. We don't mind if we mess up. We don't mind if we make mistakes. We excuse ourselves with logic and with psychological drivel. And we do not pray. "Lord," they cried, "teach us to pray." If you go, and I would ask you to turn there, into Psalm 81. It's a beautiful psalm, and it has instruction for us in this area, because the psalmist is crying out about prayer, and he is saying that he wants to be aware of prayer in his life in a new and massive way. And so he comes in front of God, and in Psalm 81, verse 10, he pronounces these words in a very distinct way. He says, "I want you to know my prayer." And he says this in verse 10 of 81, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide." That is, you talk a lot to other people, but talk to me, says God. Talk to me. "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me." Oh, dear. And so God says quite simply, "So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee." What a fantastic statement. But listen to God. It's God's complaint. And the writer of this wonderful psalm is saying, "I want you to know, Israel, I want you to know, people that call yourself Christian, I want you to know that if you will pray, it's so necessary to fall down on our knees and pray. There are answers to prayer. Jesus said, "Ask what ye will, it shall be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened to you." And I believe in a simple Christian faith, so that I can ask God, I can seek God, I can knock at the door of heaven and find it open. It's an important little factor, but so many people don't care to get involved in it. Back to Jeremiah and 33 and verse 3, the first phrase, the three words, "call unto me." This is man's part. This is the one side, the first side of prayer, man's part. The creature calling to the Creator. It's the child petitioning its father. A child runs to the father, "Daddy, can I have? Daddy, will you carry me? Daddy, I've fallen over and I've cut my knee. Daddy, will you fix my bike? Daddy, the children at the school are bullying me. Will you go and talk to them?" It's a child speaking to God. And God wants us to know that in Jeremiah, where he says, "Call unto me," he is instructing the creature to call to the Creator, because it is the source of prayer. God, I believe, is the originator of prayer. I don't quite agree with most people that seem to think in Protestant churches especially, that we can say, well, Brother John, stand up and pray for the offering, or pray for this, or pray for that. And Brother John hasn't had time to prepare his heart or mind, and the person telling him to do this is telling him, usually off the cuff, it just struck his mind that it would be a good thing to have Brother John do this. In the one sense, that's very nice. But in another sense, what do we know about Brother John? Did Brother John have a fight with his wife? Then his prayer will be absolutely useless. We read in the scriptures, and Peter puts it out very clearly. He says that we should be a people very careful to have a good relationship with our wives, or our prayers will be hindered. Then again, we discover the word of God saying, ye have not because ye ask not. So that we get into a phase in our prayer lives, if we're not very, very careful, and all it is asking. It's gimme, 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 gimme. Don't you know how to worship God in prayer? Have you been a Christian such a long time, and yet you're still wrestling with this thing called prayer? Do you only cry out when the body gives way or needs such attention as to go to the surgical office? Are you the person that cries out when your children go off the rails, or your spouse does something unpleasant, or you lose your cool and afterwards cry out and say, Lord, forgive me? It should be day by day, gently calling, saying, Christian, follow me, follow Jesus. Notice here in this 33rd verse of 33 of Jeremiah, God says, call unto me. And the source of prayer will discover that God is the originator of that prayer. James 5 and 16 tells us the spirit inwrought prayer of the righteous man availeth much. A man that is standing righteously before God should be equally in prayer as he does in talking, or as he does in keeping his eyes open all day. He should spend time in prayer. Notice the simplicity of prayer. God says here, call, call, call on me, call. That's the simplicity. I irritate some of my friends because they have all sorts of remarkable cell phones and they seem to walk around with it hung round their neck or stuck in their ear. They can't understand me because I don't like cell phones. I simply don't like them. I think they intrude on my life. They intrude on my daily activities. If I'm in prayer and I forget to turn the silly thing off, it rings when I'm in prayer. If I'm reading the scriptures and that's a time that is sacrosanct to me, it rings. Then I feel compelled to at least give an answer of some sort. And I somehow can't work out how to get my messages off the thing. So I get irritated with it. And I don't know how to program it as I should. It's my own fault, I know. But there are dozens and hundreds of places in the scriptures where people called upon God. Samuel called upon God. Moses called upon God. Abraham called upon God. We find Job called upon God. The psalmist over and over and over again. Jonah in the belly of the whale called upon God. My goodness gracious me, look at this. The scriptures are full of places where people called upon God. Sometimes because their telegraph prayers were necessary, other times they were worshipping prayers that were necessary, other times they were just prayers where they didn't know what to say. And the psalmist records himself as saying, I'm in the presence of God. His vocabulary escaped him. It wasn't big enough for him to say what he wanted to say before God. Now, we live in a generation that doesn't care very much for the scope of prayer, but this is my third thought that I would share with you. Because if you go to Romans 10 and verses 12 through 14, actually, if you really want to go for this in the way we should, you discover that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so the whole scripture goes on. But you can read 10th chapter all the way through to the 14th chapter and discover how God is saying through the Holy Spirit in this marvelous book of Romans that we need to be praying. Now, anyone can pray. Anyone can pray. That scripture shows it to us. And in Mark 11 and verse 24, we discover that we can pray about anything, anything. Not long ago, my prayer life was a bit dull, and I said, Lord, instead of me saying I'm going to pray, can I just talk to you like a friend? And it was necessary for me to get out of the doldrums that I had found myself in spiritually, and it seemed as if the Lord said, then speak to me as a friend. And I did, and I do, and it's wonderful how the Lord listens to a friend. And he is my friend. He is my best friend. But in verse 24 of Mark 11, if you'll look there, you'll discover how it is that anyone can pray. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe, and that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Anybody can do this. This is not difficult. This is what you can do. This is what I can do. And we can also pray absolutely anywhere. If you'll turn quickly to Matthew 18, I will show you that you can pray anywhere you like. You come to the 18th chapter of Matthew, and you will discover there, in the scope of all these things, that you can pray anywhere. In verses 19 through 20, you discover these words. Again I say unto you that if two of ye shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I have to say this, that there are some times when I don't feel I want to be in the presence of people. And so I have to rediscover what he means by two or three. And I discover this, that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's three. And then there's me, three and me. And so the church is there. We are there. And I can ask in the power of the Spirit because of the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus and because of the mighty grace, the unmerited favor of God. And I can expect my prayers to be heard. So anyone can pray. And they can pray anything, anywhere, and any time. You can read the any time for yourself in Psalm 55 and verse 17. Now, on the other side is God's part. And God's part is very interesting, I think, for he says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me, and then he says this, I will answer thee. I will answer thee. Now, this is a very personal answer. I answer you. And what an illustration this is of 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 7 through 9. We find that the personality of Paul is put aside and the person of Christ is in the foreground. When Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, I am dead, he says to the world, and all the trappings he's including there. When we understand that, you can discover this. God will answer. He will answer. It may be no. It may be yes. It may be go. It may be stand still. There's all sorts of answers that will come, but they will be direct. And you can read this in Isaiah 65 and verse 24. The answer will be direct. And then also the answer is likely to be very different. Again, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, and I want to show you these verses 7 through 9, where he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. God has been very good to me in showing me answers to prayer. And there is a sense in which the Apostle Paul is trying to occlude that this is his testimony. And he is saying, you know, I've seen these revelations. I've seen these things of God. But unless I should boast that I was more spiritual than other people, God gave me a thorn. And it was a thorn in the flesh. He sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I am going to have to end in this area. But I want to say to you that when you're the weakest, you're the most powerful. God has a way of doing things differently. And then also the answer to your prayer may be delayed. It may be delayed because everything is in his time. You may see things ahead of time and you might start praying about those things. I prayed, for instance, about my daughter's husbands, and yet they were only very young teenagers, or maybe not even teenagers. I prayed about my son's wife, and he was about the same age when I started this prayer life. I knew the answer would be delayed, but it was okay. I was praying for that woman, those men who would come into the family that we call by our name. We have three of the most super in-laws, and they couldn't be nicer than our own children. And they are splendid people. Also, the answer may be a denial. If you go to 1 Kings and chapter 19 and verse 4, you will see that Saul was denied. There was a denial, and it was tragic for him, but he was denied. Now, there is a visible thing. Again, I would remind you of Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me. And then he says to us in no uncertain terms, I will answer thee. And then he says, and show thee. The Lord Jesus said, when ye pray, pray our Father who art in heaven, and so on, and God will answer your prayers. He didn't say that is the prayer to recite. He said that is a guide for your praying. Deliver us from evil. I learned that the hard way. I wouldn't pray such prayers, and yet at one time in my life. And then I came to the place where I realized my children were in the direct sights of Satan's horror and unkindness. And I prayed that they would be delivered from evil. God demonstrates his power so that we can say, that is the answer to my prayer. How mighty it is. And then there is the mighty answer to prayer. Great and mighty, or inaccessible things, hard things, fenced in things are done. Things that are humanly speaking impossible. Our God is the God of impossibility. We find the kings of Israel fought battles with not enough people to even supply the supply wagons. And yet they beat the massive armies of their enemies. The fight that you fight on a daily basis is not your fight, dear friend. It is the battle of the Lord's. And let him fight his battle through you. It may be by taking your body and making it a punching bag in a sense. But as he does, he will bring you to the quiet place where you say, thank you for the grace that is enough for me. Thy grace, the unmerited favor of God, is enough. We have the enough God, the sufficiency of God. Isn't that lovely? Well, I've shared a lot of things there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you bless us now? And will you cause your Holy Spirit to bind us together, hold us together, excite us together, that we might come into the presence of the Almighty with gladness and rejoicing, and that we may see your answers to our very feeble prayers, that your glory may shine. And many of us are damaged, Lord. We've fought a good fight, and we've come to the end of that fight, or near. And we are asking that in the last few days of our lives, last few months or years of our lives, you will glorify your Son in us. So bless us all now, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. God be with you. Bye-bye.